You turn back to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ. There is no way that the Lord Jesus Christ was born on December 25th. You know that. And we're never told to commemorate His birthday in the Scriptures once a year. Not a word about that. However, He does have a birthday. A day of His birth. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Jesus Christ. Jesus. It is the Greek translation of the Hebrew name Joshua. Moses could not bring the children of Israel into the promised land. And our works cannot in any way bring us into heaven. Moses represents the law. The law is what me and you do. Only Joshua could bring the children of Israel into the promised land. Jesus. Joshua. His name means Jehovah is salvation. Christ. God's Christ. God's prophet. God's priest. God's king. Christ is His title. Jesus is His name. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Christ is His title or His office. Now, notice it says in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they had a relationship as a man and woman, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Look down in verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. A virgin shall be with child. The first intimation of this was in the first gospel promise. The seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Does a woman have a seed? How does that work? I don't know, but that's what the Bible says. The seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's heel. The Lord Jesus Christ had Mary's DNA in her, and yet He was sinless. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, God the Son. Now, He had to be born of a virgin because if He had Adam's seed in Him, He would be sinful. The reason you and I are born into this world is we're born with Adam's seed in us. We're united to Him. If He would have been born of Adam's seed, He'd be just like me and you. But He's not like me and you, is He? He's the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. Now, can I explain how Christ could be born of a virgin? No, I can't. I can't conceive of it. But I believe this with all my heart. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin in answer to the ancient prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7. Let's turn there for a moment, Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14, therefore, and this is what Matthew quoted in Matthew 1, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Yes, the child's born. The birth of Jesus Christ was upon this wise. But the son was given. He never had a time when he began to be. You know, 8 times in the book of John, the Lord says, I came down from heaven. Now what if I said to you, I came down from heaven? If I said that to you, you'd say, you're a nut. You did not. You're right. But he did. He came down from heaven. As a matter of fact, whoso confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. He was before he came. He's the eternal Son of God. He came in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he did exactly what he came to do. He came to save his people from their sins, and that is what he did. Unto us a child is born. He had to be born for me to be saved. Somebody had to save me. I can't save myself. For me to be saved, somebody had to do everything for me. And that's exactly what he did. He came in the flesh to save his people from their sins. And look what Isaiah 9:6 says. It says, the government. Now what that word means is the rule. The dominion. The rule, the dominion shall be upon his shoulder. Now, Jesus Christ is Lord. That means he rules and he reigns. That means your eternal destiny is in His hands. It's up to Him what's going to take place with you. Because He is Lord. Are you saying we don't have any control in this? Yes. Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Lord of creation. He's the one who created the universe. Now, we all know somebody made this place. Nobody made him. He's the one who did it. He's the Lord of providence. Everything that happens, he's in absolute control of. See, the government's on his shoulders, isn't it? He's the Lord of salvation. That means if you're saved, it's him that's going to save you. Your salvation is utterly and completely in his hands. And you know what? I like it that way. You know why I like it that way? Because if it were in my hands, I wouldn't be saved. I know that. The only way this sinner can be saved is if Christ saves me. I love my salvation being in his hands because I know the alternative is I won't be saved. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And I love this next thing that said about him, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. How you doing? Wonderful. Oh? Awe-inspiring? That which is revered? Worship? Well, he is wonderful. He is wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. Now, this is very interesting. The word counselor there, when we think of a counselor, we think of, you know, when we're messed up somehow, we go to a counselor to get good advice and so on. But you know, the word there is actually a verb. It's not, although he is the one to go to, whatever you need, he's the one to go to. But the word means the one who decrees, the one who purposes, the one who decrees, the one whose counsel is always done. He is the wonderful counselor. His purpose, His will is always done. And look what it says next in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, the rule shall be upon His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. You know what thrills me? Jesus Christ is God Almighty. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. And next it says, He is the everlasting Father. Is Jesus Christ the Father? Well, I know this. He said, He that has seen Me has seen the Father, didn't He? And all you and I are ever going to see of the Father is His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. And it says here, He is the everlasting Father. That's what His name is going to be called. But once again, how do I explain this? All I can do is read it. There it is. He's everlasting. You know what that means? That means He never began to be. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was, eternally, infinitely was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And what's it say next? He is the Prince of Peace. What a name for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Prince. He's the King of Peace. What did the angels say when they announced His birth? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace. Goodwill. God's goodwill toward men. Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Now, how is that? Well, He came as the Prince of Peace. And He made my peace with God. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of His cross. You see what Christ did on Calvary's tree? Made it to where God is at peace with me. God is satisfied with me. God's not looking for anything else. He's not looking for anything else. Perfect peace. Having been justified. That's what Christ did on the cross. He justified everybody He died for. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. You know, what a glorious thing it is to know that I have peace with God. God's not looking for anything else out of me. He's perfectly satisfied with me through the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you want it to be any other way? I wouldn't. He's the Prince of Peace. And look what it says next in verse 7. Of the increase. And that word is literally the greatness. Of the greatness of His government, of His rule, and the greatness of His peace, the peace He accomplished by what He did on Calvary's tree, there shall be no end. This is never going to cease. It's forever. Upon the throne of David, that's the throne He sits upon even now, and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Now, what our Lord did by His work on Calvary's tree, He established His kingdom with judgment and justice. Now, what that means is the very holiness and justice and righteousness of God demands the salvation of everybody He died for. I'm not saved because I believe.
I do believe. I do. But I'm not saved because I believe. I'm saved because Jesus Christ died for my sins. I'm saved because He eternally put away my sins. I'm saved because the very justice and righteousness of God demands my salvation. Delivering from going to the pit, I found a ransom. What a government. And who's going to perform this? We read in verse 7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is jealous of His own glory. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform all this. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 1. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, she was engaged to him, they had not entered a full marriage as of yet, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now put yourself in Joseph's place. The angel has not yet appeared to him, and Mary comes up to him and says, I'm pregnant. I'm with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, I put myself in Joseph's place. If Lynn and I were engaged, and she came up to me, and she said, I'm pregnant, and it's of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you think I believe that? Joseph didn't believe that. Yeah, I understand him not believing it. I wouldn't have believed it either, and you wouldn't either. I'm pregnant. God has come upon me. The Holy Spirit has caused me to be pregnant. Oh. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he was a good man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to divorce her privately in a way that would not bring shame to her. He saw what was going on, and he was a merciful man. He was a forgiving man, and he was going to go ahead and divorce her in a way that wouldn't bring any public shame to her. Well, that lets us know about how we ought not ever bring anybody into public shame. I mean, if anyone had a reason to do it, in Joseph's mind he did, but he was not going to do that, was he? But, verse 20, while he thought on these things, how did this happen to me? Good grief, I thought my life was going in the right direction, and this has happened. How am I going to change this? How am I going to get out of this? Got to start all over. While he was thinking on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Now this lets us know how far the house of David has fallen. This is a very poor man, poverty-stricken man. He's a carpenter, yet he's in the line of David. That lets us know how the house of David has fallen. But this man is still in the line of David. But while he thought on these things, the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And, verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Joshua. Jehovah is salvation, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Now, isn't everything done according to God's purpose? That the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Now, I want us to spend the remainder of our time thinking about this glorious verse, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now, the first word I would like to consider is He. He. Not He and,
He alone. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Now what He did alone. You and I didn't have any hand in this except for the sin. He had no help. He, the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall. Doesn't say He'll make a way possible. Doesn't say He'll make us potentially savable. Doesn't say anything like that, does it? It says He shall. He shall save. Not simply hope to. He shall save. He will be successful in this. He shall save. Who? Who? What's it say? His people. Who are they? His people. Having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them to the end. His people are His elect. Those the Father gave Him before time began. He said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him which sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." His people are the elect. His people are the sheep. "I lay down my life for the sheep." He didn't lay down His life for goats. He laid down His life for the sheep. Let me tell you something that all of His people have in common. Every one of them without exception. All His people. All the people that He shall save from their sins are people who know that they're sinners. They know that if God sent them to hell, they would be getting exactly what they deserved. They know that they have no claim on God, or they can say, "God, You need to save me because I fill in the blank." No. All of His people know that they are sinners. And here's something else about all of His people. Every single one of them. Every one of them believe the gospel. How can I know if I'm one of His people? Are you relying on the Lord Jesus Christ as all you have right now before God? Do you really believe that all you can plea, all your hope and plea is in Him? Well, that's what His people do. They believe the gospel. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Acts 13:48. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from what? From their sins. He shall save His people from their sins." Now let's say you're drowning. And somebody gets you and pulls you out of that terrible condition. What were you saved from? You're saved from drowning. Let's say you're unconscious in a house on fire. And the firemen come in and pull you out. What were you saved from? Well, you're saved from burning up in a fire. And what does Christ save His people from? He saves His people from their sins. He saves His people from their sins. Now, what is sin? Well, there's so many scriptural definitions of it. For one thing, 1 John 3:4 says sin is a transgression of the law. The Ten Commandments, any lack of perfect conformity to the Ten Commandments is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The plowing of the wicked is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin.
My problem is my sin. This is what I need. I need to be saved from my sins. Now, how is it that He saves His people from their sins? I'm going to give you something I give all the time, then I'm going to give you something I've never given before. Here's the thing I say all the time. I'm saved from sins in the sense that I'm saved from the penalty of sin. I'm saved from the power of sin. I'm saved from the presence of sin, the commission of sin. And I'm saved from the pleasure of sin. That's what salvation from sin is. First of all, if I'm saved, I'm saved from the penalty of sin. God is just. You believe that? God is just. God's going to punish sin. He wouldn't be God if He did, and He'd lose His justice. It's not going to happen. God's going to punish sin. God is just. My sin needs to be punished. I can't deal with that. Christ dealt with it for me. He was punished in my place, and now I'll never have to be punished. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. I need to be saved from the power of sin. What do I mean by that? I can distinctly remember when I could not believe. I tried to, but I couldn't. Didn't even know what it meant. I couldn't love God. I couldn't repent. I could not do any of those things because I was under the complete dominion and power of sin. Somebody says, well, I can believe if I want to. Well, you just proved by that you're still under its complete dominion and power. It's got you fooled. It's got you blinded. Now, I need to be delivered from the power of sin so that I can believe, so that I can repent, so that I can love God, so that I can hear the gospel. And He has done precisely that in the sense that He saved me from the power of my sin when He gave me a new nature. Now listen to this. Salvation from sin. Yes, it's saved from the penalty of sin. It's saved from the power of sin. Because I do believe now. And I do love God now. There was a time when I couldn't. But there's salvation from the presence of sin. I won't be a sinner anymore. Now, I haven't experienced that yet, but I already have it in Christ. Because Scripture says we're already glorified. I'm saved from the presence of sin, the commission of sin. And one of these days, I haven't experienced it yet, but I know I am saved from it. But one of these days, I'm going to be saved from the pleasure of sin. To where I won't find any pleasure at all in sin. Oh, the appetite for sin is still there so strongly in me and you. It really is. Somebody says it's not in me. I don't believe you. I really don't. I know better than that. Oh, to be saved from the very pleasure of sin. To where there's no pleasure in it. Now, that's what it is to be saved. My big problem is my sin. Now, in order for me to be saved from my sin, there are six things that the Lord had to meet for me. First of all, He had to deal with God's holy law. He had to meet God's holy law head on and keep it perfectly. Somebody has to keep the law. Somebody had to keep the law. He came in the flesh, and in the flesh He kept God's holy law perfectly. Now, somebody had to keep the law for me because I can't do it. I can't. He did it. He did it. But the second thing that the Lord had to deal with, He had to deal with the absolute justice of God in the punishment of sin. And beloved, that's precisely what He did on the cross. He dealt with the absolute justice of God when he was punished as the sin bearer. Now, he kept the law. But if he just went back to heaven, what good would that have done me? Wouldn't have done me any good at all. But he had to deal with the justice of God and bear the punishment of sin and put that sin away by the sacrifice of himself. So that's what he had to do for me. He had to keep the law for me to be saved. He had to keep the law for me, and he had to pay for my sins. Thirdly, for me to be saved for my sins, somebody's going to have to deal with the devil. Because I'm no match for him. And the Lord said, the prince of this world is judged. Now the devil, in all his malice toward God and his people, he can't touch me apart from God's permissive will. He may touch me. He may touch me. But he can't cause me to be sent to hell, because the Lord's protecting me from him. Somebody had to deal with the devil. For me to be saved, somebody had to deal with the devil. Now, for me to be saved, somebody had to keep the law for me. Somebody had to do something about my sins before God's justice. Somebody had to do something about the devil. And for me to be saved, something had to be done about me. What do I mean by that? I've got to be given a new nature. I've got to be given a new heart. I can't come up with faith. I can't come up with repentance. I can't come up with love to God. Yet I have to have these things. Something's going to have to be done for me and in me. I have to be given a new heart. I have to be born, birthed from above. For me to be saved. Yes, sir. God's going to have to put something in me that was not there before. Now, fifthly, for me to be saved, there's got to be something done about my daily walk. Now, what do I mean by that? Have you sinned today? Did you sin yesterday? You going to sin this afternoon? Now, we ought not ever sin. I'm not giving any excuse for sin. But the fact of the matter is every day, I sin. And I sin. And I sin. And I commit the same sin. And I commit the same sin. Every day. I've got a daily walk. Now, I'm talking about, aren't you forgiven of all your sins? Yeah. Yeah, I am. But I think of when the Lord took that towel and girded himself and he washed the disciples' feet, and he came up to Peter, and Peter said, "You'll never wash my feet." And I can understand Peter feeling that way, can't you? What if the Lord came up to you and said, "I'm going to wash your feet"? And you think, "He doesn't need to be washing my feet. I need to be washing his." But the Lord said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." And Peter said, "Well, wash my hands and feet, the arms, but wash me all." And he said, he that is cleansed, save not to be washed except for his feet." Now, I am clean every whit. I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. And I get my feet dirty every single day. And he washes my feet every single day. Now, I need something done about my daily walk. And I can't do anything about it, but he does. He does. He washes my feet every day in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what else I need done for me? And one of these days I'm going to die.
might be today. I'm going to die. I'm going to decay. Hard to tell what is going to happen with the different parts of my body. It might be that a part of my body ends up in some dirt somewhere. It grows into some grass and some animal eats it. And I end up getting spread out all over the universe. I mean, who knows what's going to happen when you die? I mean, all these different things. I mean, I need somebody in my helpless. How helpless am I then when I'm dead? How dependent am I when I'm dead? Same way when I'm dead in sins. But the point is, I need someone who can take my decomposed, dead body spread out who knows how or where and raise it from the dead and make me just like Christ. That's what I need. I need Him to raise me from the dead and to make me to be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. And you'll see me and say, who is that good-looking guy? Why, that's me with a glorified body. You know, we'll recognize each other, but in a way, we'll think, that's you? That's you? Really? Yeah, that's everybody that He has raised from the dead incorruptible. So for me to be saved from my sins, I need Him to keep the law for me. I need Him to deal with God's justice and pay for my sins. I need Him to deal with the devil, protect me from him, deliver us from the evil one. I need for Him to give me a new heart, do something in my heart, put something in there that wasn't there before, a new man. I need Him to deal with my daily walk, cleanse me every single day. And I need Him to raise me up incorruptible, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what I need to be saved from my sins. And beloved, that's what He did. This is the promise. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Back to our text. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Not God against us, but God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Is there any name like that? I love that passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You confess that? To the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we praise You that He came and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. How He kept the law for us and paid for our sins and defeated Satan. How He gave us a new heart. How He cleanses us every day. And how He's going to make us to be perfectly conformed to His image. Lord, how we thank You for the gospel.
Our only plea is that we might be found in Him, and that You would be pleased to make Yourself known to each person here according to Your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing as a closing hymn.